We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
And after teams have gone through free agency and draft and pretty much set up what they're going to have when they go to camp, whenever that camp is going to be held, he takes a look at it and does the power rankings. As of right now, he's got Kansas City at number one. He's got Baltimore at number two. He moves New Orleans into the number three spot, and the 49ers at four to finish off the top five. Tampa Bay with Tom Brady and Gronk, they move into number five. Let's bring in Lorenzo Alexander, the former NFL linebacker, former Cal great. He joins us here on Joe Low and Dibs. Lorenzo, thanks for joining us, buddy. We appreciate you spending a little time with us. I certainly trust you and your family are safe and healthy, and everything's going well for you right now.
Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, everything is going well. Good morning to you fellas. And today is a good day for at least my family. Get to celebrate my oldest son who's turning 10. And so just celebrate him and the awesome young man that he's turning out to be. And so it's good in the household of the Alexanders.
That is a milestone birthday, Lorenzo. We better make it big today. I know it's tough, but let's have a big birthday for your son. Happy birthday to him. We're very happy about that. All right, Peter King, rankings that he does. He has the 49ers at number four. How surprised are you that the team that was 7 minutes away from winning the Vince Lombardi, they're dropped to number four on any list to start a season?
Well, you know, as I've come to know, you know, playing in the league as long as I was able to, that it's not about what you did last season. It's about moving forward. And so each and every year you have to almost take an NFL season and segment it on its own accord. And yeah, there's some carryover because you're going to have some of those players, but things change drastically. Even within their own division, things have changed. There's some other teams that have made some moves that are probably going to get better. And so you can't necessarily keep them that high because they're going to have a hard time. A harder time competing in a division just because everybody around them is getting better. So maybe if you look at it from that perspective, I can understand why he maybe dropped them, because they're going to have to really – they're going to be battle-tested, and maybe they'll be beat up as well coming out of one of the hardest, if not the hardest division in football.
When you look at this Niner, I know you were playing last year, so it's hard to just watch as much as tape as you're going to be watching probably now. When you look at them and you see the way that they're able to run the ball with the running scheme, the stretch offense and the bootlegs, and a guy like George Kittle, hey diddle diddle Kittle down the middle.
Right.
how do you see this team just overall? Where have you seen a strength and weaknesses if you're just looking at the Niners from your perspective, Lorenzo?
Yeah, you know, it's hard. You know, I had a chance to play with Kyle Shanahan when we was in Washington together, when his dad was Mike, was the head coach. And so he's always been a great offensive mind, even when he was with us. And we had RG3, they had Kirk Cousins, I think, was even starting after I left. And then he goes to Atlanta. And so his offenses, no matter wherever he's been, obviously he's learned a lot from his dad and kind of growing up in his league. But he's very intuitive and creative, and does whatever it takes to win. And it's always been, which I really love, it's been founded and based around the run game. And so that sets everything up. Obviously, the outside zone, the stretch zone that really became famous in Denver, is really hard to defend against, especially if you don't have D linemen that want to get vertical, that get you running sideways, because that's what they want you to do, and they allow their backs to make that one cut and go. And as we've seen, when their offense is rolling, the running backs are going downhill, as you were talking about, they get big chunk yards, and that just opens up the boot game, the clashing game. And so it's hard. It's hard to defend, especially when you think about what they added at receiver this year in the offseason. It's really going to be, I think, an even more explosive offense next year. Jimmy G's continue to grow. And
what about with Trent, Lorenzo?
So it's going to be
what about What about with Trent? Since you the offensive tackle, you look at what does he bring?
He's a dog. I mean, and I just don't say that as, you know, the general dog. I mean, this dude is the best tackle. You know, I probably think obviously Jason Peters. I played against him in his heyday too. But Trent is a monster. And obviously, he's coming off a year of being fresh, and so he's going to even be more. I think playing with a chip on the shoulder as far as proving that he didn't lose anything. But he's, you know, 330, 340, runs like a deer, so he's able to cut off the backside linebacker, so he's definitely going to add in that run game. And then, obviously, he's so athletic, long, and big, and that he can hold up Jimmy G's blindside. I mean, it's really hard to beat a guy that has that athletic, plays nasty, too, and is a student of the game as far as when it comes to knowing his opponent and his technique. And so he's definitely going to, I think, allow that offensive line not to miss anything. And maybe he'll get a little bit better because of the toughness that he brings to that offense.
You were touching on the receivers for a moment there, and I want to ask you a follow-up on Brandon Ayuk, who's coming in as a rookie, and Deebo Samuel having to step up and replace Emmanuel Sanders. How difficult is it in the Shanahan system for a young receiver to figure out not only all the routes and all the assignments, but all the hot reads and the other things that you need to know on the fly, basically?
Yes, I mean, you know, talking to a lot of the coaches and players, receivers probably one of the hardest positions to make a transition into, especially because in that system they also expect you to block, and most receivers just don't have that mindset of blocking, and that's why the run game is as good as it is, because they have a tight end that loves to block, and their receivers, they demand that you block or you're not going to play. And so, yes, there's going to be a learning curve, and I think this year is going to make it maybe slightly harder because of the offseason that we're having, and you don't have those field reps and that time to take what you learned in the classroom and apply it on the field. And so maybe there is a little bit of lull in the beginning of the season, but I believe, you know, the coaching staff over there has done a great job of coaching guys up and putting them in place so that they can be successful, you know, over the length of the season. And so those guys are going to also have to, you know, really put the onus on themselves right now to work on those things, you know, go out there and, you know, and find ways to maybe go through the playbook with Jimmy G. I know a couple of teams have done that, and I'm sure the 49ers receivers have done that as well. And so that's going to be an important part of this unprecedented offseason when you haven't had the chance to have OTAs, and who knows what's going to happen with training camp and if that'll be able to start on time. So it's going to be a lot more onus on player leadership, away from the facility, and making sure those young guys are, you know, close to being up to speed when training camp starts.
Lorenzo, you said something interesting when you're talking about leadership. Put yourself a year ago removed and now come back, if you were playing now, far as leadership, what would be some of the things you expect from like the Richard Shermans and the leaders, you know, to make sure in this time, what guys are doing? What would be the accountability steps that you would have in place to help police these young guys?
Well, the biggest thing, and you know, and I kind of go back to 2011 when we had the lockout, and you know, guys didn't have an off season either. And so, I know one of the things that London Fletcher did, you know, just from a defensive standpoint, you always see the offensive guys get together, but he made sure that the young defensive guys got together as well and trained and work out. And I know it's a little different. Well, not a little, a lot different as far as people not being able to travel because the reason for this lull is a pandemic. But just getting on meetings, making sure guys are attentive when they are in the Zoom meetings, you know, maybe making extra phone calls. Hey, did you understand what coach was saying? Is there a way for me to maybe communicate a little bit different? You know, I'm even kind of doing that a little bit on the outside with Buffalo because I am still tied to the organization, is helping some of those young guys transition into the linebacker room and making sure they're understanding what Coach Bob Babbage is telling them. And so I think that's where you have to be a little bit more from a defensive side, maybe go out of your way a little bit more as far as being intentional about reaching out to those guys. And if you are in the same city, getting together and actually practically showing them some of the techniques or drills or concepts and what they look like with the moving parts, you know, on the field, much like what you see what a lot of quarterbacks and receivers are doing.
Former Cal great Lorenzo Alexander joining us, the NFL great as well here on 95.7 The Game. You mentioned Buffalo and how you still have some attachments to them. Could the Bills be a team, Lorenzo, that last year was kind of the breakthrough moment? They opened everyone's eyes around the league. And do they have the core together where they can start to make their move up the standings in the AFC. Listen, it's a whole new world in the AFC because Tom Brady and the big bad Patriots aren't standing in everyone's way right now. Is Buffalo poised to make a big jump?
Yes. And, you know, obviously my answer is biased because I have a unique perspective being there the last 3 years under Sean McDermott and what he's been able to do cultural-wise, foundational-wise with players and scheme and really changing the organization around to a winning organization, having a winning mentality every time they show up. And you look at the core nucleus of guys that they have up there on both sides of the ball, and everybody's coming back. And we added, Stephon Diggs, added some other pieces on the defensive side that I think is going to really shore up some places where guys have moved on. And so I'm looking very optimistically for the future of the Bills organization because I believe because of that continuity, because they have a great core, they have their quarterback in place, they've added pieces to help him, and he's going to continue to evolve. And the defenses, I think, is going to be great once again as well. That will allow them to get to a quick early start in banking games early in the season. You know, those first four, five, six games where you really start to establish yourself and can maybe even separate yourself early and set yourself up on the back end to where you can maybe be playing for that number one seed, because that's going to be critical this year as far as having that first round bye. But this team is definitely poised to take the next step. They'll be fueled by the playoff loss last year versus Houston. And those guys are hungry. And I know Sean is going to make sure that people are not complacent in what occurred last year as far as exceeding people's expectations. Now that you have expectations of winning, you have to be able to deal with those. And oftentimes success is much harder to deal with. But I know Sean, he's a great leader, a great visionary, and he's going to be able to teach that and remind guys throughout the entire season that we got to work. And last year doesn't matter, and we got to continue to focus. Because every year there are playoff teams that aren't able to recapture that playoff experience. And so I know they're hungry, and I know they're poised, and they know what they have is something special, and they're going to take advantage of it.
Hey, Lorenzo, what's the future hold for you? What do you want to do now that the career is over? You take a little family time, or you have something else on your mind?
Well, yeah, I've had a lot of family time with the pandemic. but yeah, you know, family is number one for me as far as being able to be around. And my daughter is she'll be 12 here soon, and you know she'll be out of the house. And my sons are getting older, so I want to be there for them and coach them and be a part of their lives. That football, you know, it gave me so many blessings, but I had to make some sacrifices along the way. And so I want to make sure I don't miss any more moments that I don't have to. But I still want to be, obviously, part of the football community, whether that's being a consultant, mentor, be doing some analyst work. And then, obviously, a lot of my attentions will still be heavily towards the community, especially, you know, with the climate of our world right now, still being trying to be a leader there, serving young people, but then also challenging a lot of the institutions that have created a lot of these issues. And so I'm still going to partner with our social justice initiative in Buffalo, as well as my own foundation in ACES, and continue to help my hometown in Oakland, where I live in Arizona, and most for sure in Buffalo. So I'm looking to do a lot of things, but family's always going to be first amongst those things.
That's awesome stuff, man. A lot of people should listen to those words. Lorenzo, thank you so much for joining us. We do appreciate it. Hope your family stays well. Happy birthday to the 10-year-old today, huh? That's have a great birthday for your son. That's awesome. Thanks, Lorenzo.
Hey, let me know if you need me, Zoe, too. If you let me know any of your initiatives, I got your back, brother.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And the same with you. I know you normally do your camp, and you're one of the leaders as well in the community. So, just give me a call, and I'll try to make it out.
My man.
All right,
look at that. Great stuff, guys. Thank you, Lorenzo. Hey, Lo Neal on that one. You just heard him talk about the end of his career. He had a 15-year NFL career. You had a, 16, 17-year NFL career? How hard is that transition for someone whose lives have been so wrapped into one thing? And it's not just the 15 or 16-year careers you guys had. It's the 3 or 4 years of college before that. It's the 4 years of high school before that. It's the Pee Wee footballs. You have been ingrained in something for your lives, and then it ends. How difficult is that transition?
You know, Jim, it's very difficult. I think for a lot of guys, it's more difficult than the others. I had relatives, my cousin Charlie, you know, Jones, great player, Fresno, went to Lemoore High School, was a little younger than me. We played together. He was a sophomore. We brought him up to varsity. And I remember when, you know, he was in his, he had a great rookie year, good second year, a good third year. And then the, when, right when he getting ready to get paid, his fourth year, he gets a contract and he dislocates his hip and it was devastating. And so he's training, trying to come back and really never got back. And you're 27 years old, 28, 27 years old. And you're believing that you're still in the, you know, getting ready to get in your prime that, you know, usually, you know, 26, 27, you're freaking got another 5-7 years left. You know, hopefully a good five, at least till you're 32 and it's over. And you just watch and you see them training and working out and trying, and you just know that it's maybe not there. And you see guys that are right out and it's just like, it's tough. It's really tough because, like you just alluded to, Coz, you've been doing something since you're 7-8 years old, and it's been a part of you. It's been a part of locker rooms, part of playing, and still playing and looking forward to a game. And you still, you know, you're still social. You still have all those other things, but it's such a part of you. It's how you how people identify with you. They identify you by a game. And it makes, and the identification is good because it puts you in a spot where people revere you. They, man, what's it like? You have access. You can get things. You do things. You have access to things that people don't. You're revered differently, and it's awesome. And man, when it's over, it's taken. And once it's taken, they tap you and say, "Hey, I need that jersey." Now you just have your name, and who are you then? And where you're going then, because you haven't, you know, haven't necessarily prepared for the afterlife of not being in football, not playing. So what are you, who are you, and how do you cope then? And those are tough times. And so you, what is it tough? Was it even tough for me? Yeah. But I still prepared and I knew that I was going to end, but you still miss it. Look at Peyton Manning. He's still around the game. There's a lot of guys that still, those little locker rooms, just being able to be around the game, talking to guys who speak the same language as you. You have a problem with someone, you know what? You go out on the football field, you solve it. You get it done. It's through, you know, testosterone, physical exercise, all those things that you do. And now you switch and you're in the real world. A world that now you can't say, okay, let's go handle this on the field. Let's go out here. Or we're going to, I'm going to take it out. I can't stand this player playing against a guy I don't like. He said words. I can unleash my will and get rid of my anger and the frustration on the field. Now you transfer that to the real world. And now you're in corporate America and you're doing certain things. And now you're doing business deals and different things happen and people wrong you because you think, okay, this is how it works. And they can look you in the eye and tell you, hey, this is how it's going. And it's not. They're skimming or doing something to people that don't have necessarily the right heart or the right agent or the right financial advisor. And they're getting you in stocks and they're turning and burning for them to make money because they're turning and burning to continue. They get their little dividend. So when you see things like that, it begins to make you change. You become more harder. You become different. You become disconnected. So it's very tough. So guys, if guys are listening, you know, the different guys that play, and that's why I try to talk to last 2 weeks ago, I was on the, on a Zoom with the Buffalo Bills and their running backs and able to talk to them. And it wasn't necessarily about football. It was about the CDC choices, decisions, and consequences. Who are you when they take that jersey from you? Cause it's going to happen. What are you doing? How are you not being involved? And that's why I tell them, stay involved with your money. Too many guys, I got my financial advisor, I'm too busy, and they give their money away. No, you need to know how money works. You need to understand the ins and outs of, you know, the ROI, when you're investing, what you know, you keep up with inflation, how much inflation is going to be through the years, amortize things. Are you doing bonds and AAA bonds? All the different things that you need to be aware of. And guys, sometimes, Coach, they don't want to invest in themselves and they don't want to invest in their future. And so that's why you see a lot of guys, when it's over, it's not the crash to kill you. It's a sudden stop. Mm-hmm. So it's tough, Jim.
Yeah,
it's tough.
It is tough. It's tough. Yeah, no, it's tough on a number of levels. There are life lessons out there that you do learn in playing a sport. There are some you don't learn in playing a sport. And some
right,
of these,
right.
And a lot of these, I mean, listen, Lorenzo Alexander sounds like he's got his stuff together. His kid's birthday is today. He's excited about that. His daughter's birthday's coming up. He's excited about that. He's around his family. But that jarring, like you said, the sudden stop. You know, you 15 years in the NFL and plenty more prior to that.
Life changes along the way, and now you have to reinvent yourself. And I'm always intrigued when guys, when it's over for guys, whether they pulled the plug or the plug was pulled on them, how the transition is and what it's like to stop when you have to stop or you're told to stop or circumstance sure. or such. Joe Lowe and Dibs, the name of the show here on 95.7 The Game. You can join us at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Also, the text line for us here at 95.7 The Game. We're going over Peter King's power rankings, top five teams, number one Kansas City, two Baltimore, three New Orleans, four the San Francisco 49ers, and then Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in at number five. Hey, Lowe, a 42-year-old quarterback is changing teams, playing for a new head coach, and bringing back his favorite target who missed an entire year last year at tight end. Are we expecting too much of Tampa Bay, or is Tampa Bay loaded for bear, and they're going to outperform even the already high expectations?
I don't think I think that we can never put too much expectations on Tom Brady. I tell you, Bruce Arians brought him there not to get in the playoffs. He brought him there to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You don't bring guys in of that ilk, that old, and think that, hey, I just got him here to teach the teams how to pro. Not that position. Not to be a starter. You bring that a type of guy like that in, you're not going to just give Gronkowski $9 million and say, hey, let's trade, bring him in, you know, to get to just to make your team a little bit better. No, you bring those guys in to win championships. Those are the type, that's what Bruce is looking at. So you got to realize, and Tommy understand, there is pressure on Tom Brady. I think more so now than it's been in some years. Because he's brought there for a reason. It's not to teach and get to groom the young guy and all those things. That's a part of it. It's not to teach guys how to practice, teach guys how to be pros. Yeah, that's a part of it. It's also, but it's also there to win a championship. So yes, that's what he's, that's what his main focus. That's why they brought him in. That's why he has got a 2-year deal. It is to, in these 2 years, Tom Brady needs to win a Super Bowl for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He needs to get that team to play at a level. And by teaching and by getting guys on the same page and by pushing guys offensively, defensively, everywhere, he's going to make that team and that organization better. That's what they brought him there, to build a culture and to help be a building block for the foundation for it to be secure when he leaves.
Dibs, that's a tall order. 42-year-old quarterback, as great as he has been throughout his career, it didn't end well in New England. His final pass was a pick six. And his best target didn't even play last year. Isn't this asking an awful lot of even the greatest quarterback to ever play?
I think it is. And Peter King makes an interesting point in his piece that the Bucs threw 30 interceptions last year. Of course, Jameis Winston threw those 30. Tom Brady with just 29 interceptions over the last 5 years. So that one thing, ball security, you're going to imagine will be markedly better. The problem is, Tom Brady's arm strength is starting to diminish. His mobility is starting to diminish. And you're going to be playing in a situation where Rob Gronkowski's coming back. How much does he have left? I know they have other great weapons, like they've got Godson and they've got Mike Evans, who I love as a wide receiver.
Evans is good. I like
Evans. I'm just a little concerned about Tom Brady's ability to elevate his play to the level he's going to need to, because you're in a situation where you're going to have to tangle with Carolina twice. You've got to face off with a good New Orleans team that Peter King has ranked higher than Tampa. I think that putting Tampa Bay at five is a bit of a reach.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. As great as he is, the greatest of all, he's the GOAT for quarterbacks, and you wonder what he needed. And, Lowe, you wonder, why is it that he had to go to Tampa Bay? Did he need a new new thing to push him in his life? Did he need a new goal that he felt was going to put him on another level, whatever that happens to be? It's going to be an interesting year, and a lot is going to be asked.
He could have played with the Chargers.
Said.
He could have played with the Chargers. They
Who's more him. Ready to win? Is it the Chargers or is it Tampa Bay?
He's looked and said, "Do I want Mahomes or I want Breeze?" If I ask you both, I know you say Tom's getting old. I get it, but do you like his chances more against a Breeze or against a Mahomes? I like him more against a Breeze.
Yeah. I mean, they're in the same category. They're nearing the end of their career. And, man, you talk about two guys. Doesn't it start with those two guys, week one of the NFL season? Isn't it Tampa Bay and
New Orleans in week one? I believe it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Week one tussle.
Yeah. Where's that game at? I wonder. That's going to be that's a big determining factor where that game is. New Orleans, yeah. You got to give them the edge. If it's in Tampa, you got to give Tampa the edge. So I just think that if you look at it, I don't know if you – I think you guys are a little out over your skis by saying it's too much of a reach. Peter King put them too high. I don't think he just predicated on Tom Brady, guys. He predicated on that team as well. They got a guy who led the league in sacks last year. Your defense was a good defense. Your offense just kept turning the ball over and giving the opponent, opposition, a short field. So I don't think he just predicated this on Tommy Brady. I think he predicated on the overall team, Cozy.
And listen. You got to get out of the NFC. If you got to get out of the NFC, part of it is you got to beat Drew Brees, as you point out. You got to beat the 49ers, who are still one of the best teams in the game. Dan.
Oh, sure.
NFC West, Dan. How tough is it going to be for the 49ers to survive their own division before we even start to think about what they can do once they get to the playoffs?
It's going to be very tough. It's going to be as difficult as it was last year, and I believe the NFC West had the most combined total victories of any division in the National Football League. The Rams, I don't think, will be as good, but Arizona's going to be much better. Seattle's still a factor. So, you know, you're six games in division. You're probably not going to go 6-0, but you feel good in the matchup with the Rams. I think Seattle still is. I mean, you were one play away in both those games from losing both, winning both, splitting, whatever. And Arizona had you by the short hairs in those games. They were very competitive, and they're going to be better. So, long answer to a short question, but very tough, Jim.
Here's what's coming up on the game. It is brought to you by the California Highway Patrol Motorcycle Safety Program. We'll continue to talk about the NFC West, just how tough it's going to be if you had to rank the four teams. And is it possible, as they open up the playoffs to another team, that the NFC West could see all four teams make it into the playoff round this coming season? As we all start to get back on the roads again, now is the perfect time to think about taking a California motorcyclist safety course. Whether it's your first time on a motorcycle or you've ridden before, anyone can benefit from learning the latest skills and techniques. Visit CaliforniaMotorcyclist.com to learn more and be safe on the roads with the California Highway Patrol Motorcycle Safety Program. Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Enjoy the morning. Thanks for joining us.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs with Jim Cosimore.
Well, I think you start with Justin Tucker, best kicker in the game. Great opera singer, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
And rapper.
You had to one-up me.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, everybody. We got some NBA breaking news going on. This is from Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski from over at ESPN. The NBA's Board of Governors has a 12:30 p.m. call on Thursday with the intention of approving the league's plan for a 22-team return to play in Orlando. Each of the 22 teams will play 8 regular season games in Orlando for seeding purposes for the playoffs. And each of the 22 teams, yeah, will play the 8 regular season games. Yeah, it's a couple of tweets right in a row that are pretty much the repeat of each other. Shams Charania over at The Athletic has some deeper dives into this. The play-in tournament would work as follows. If the ninth seed is more than 4 games behind the eighth seed earns the playoff spot. If the ninth seed is 4 or fewer games behind, then the eighth and ninth seed will enter a play-in tournament that is double elimination for the eighth seed and single elimination for ninth. ESPN first reported the league is working on a 22-team model. Instant response, Dan. A lot to go over. They're going to have the call tomorrow at 12:30 Eastern time. But you hear it's a 22-team bring back. What are your feelings about what you just heard?
I'm baffled. I'm baffled right now as to the format and exactly how this would work. And I know all the details aren't ironed out, and you were reading it cold, so it's hard to really pick your way through it. But just on the surface, it seems a little bit convoluted. You know, to me, a return for basketball, great. We want basketball. We want playoffs. We want to see a champion crowned. Use the KISS method. Keep it simple, sports. I don't want to deride them with a name calling, but keep it simple, sports. Just take the teams who are going to be in the playoffs and have a normal playoff format. You don't have to go and just twist yourself into this crazy knot. You know, you're playing a game Twister, left-hand blue circle. If it's right next to you, use that one. Don't go all the way across the Twister board just to show off your flexibility. Keep it simple, sports.
You know, but it's such a unique time. And we've talked about other leagues using this as a laboratory and seeing what they can do. Adam Silver brought up prior to the pandemic, long before the pandemic, the idea of changing the NBA schedule. We don't have to be held to 82 games. We don't have to be held to a certain system. Maybe in season there's a tournament. Soccer style, Dan, and nobody knows the game more than the co-host of, what is it, Golazo Supremo?
Very good, Jim.
Thank you. the co-host of Golazo Supremo. You know that in soccer, it is intriguing to the fan base when these different teams are in different tournaments within the season. Adam Silver is thinking that way. Doesn't this give him a chance to use a laboratory for a little in-season tournament and see how much intrigue it gets?
I suppose, but just picking through this, it's just really kind of contrived and convoluted because, as you were mentioning, you've got these teams who are going to play for the eighth seed, and there'll be a play-in tournament. Unless the ninth seed is still more than four games behind the eighth seed, then there won't be a play-in tournament. So you build up this play-in tournament, but if the gap is still so significant, then there won't be a play-in tournament. And how does this work when you have eight regular season games? So you've got 22 teams. How are you going to do a balanced schedule? You're not going to be able to do a balanced schedule. So the teams that are trying to make up ground, are they going to play the same opponents as the teams that are ahead of them? How are they going to make that aspect fair? Again, I revert you to my opening thing about being baffled. It seems like the NBA is going totally out of its way to make some cockamania format where you just keep it simple. Take the top 16, take them to Orlando, and do a postseason and call it a year.
This is from Bobby Marks, who's the front office NBA insider, you'd call him, for him over at ESPN. He said, now there are some new things on the horizon that you have to start to think about and what gets negotiated next. One, player reductions. There aren't going to be 82 games. How much less are the players going to take? The salary cap. Because of all the revenue that was lost over the pandemic, the salary cap is going to change tremendously. Plus, you add in the problems that the NBA had with China and how China had eliminated some partnerships and eliminated some of its television viewing. That is going to affect the salary cap. There are player and team options that are affected. There are guaranteed dates that are in contracts, but everything got thrown out of whack because of the pandemic. Qualifying offers, the 2020-21 calendar. There's a lot more that needs to be unpacked for the National Basketball Association. But low, again, thinking of the idea of a laboratory, are we in a position for the NBA in a league that everybody seems to love, but the ratings were going down last year, a chance for them to practice or kind of scientifically manufacture some ways to see how they can work in the future to make their game better?
Without a doubt. And I think that they're on to something. They're throwing out as much stuff as they can, and they're seeing what will stick. And that's what you do. You're getting a conversation going. You're letting people work it out. Some ideals are getting saying, you know what, we're not doing it. And some of the ideals are like, man, this has some merit. I just need, you know, if you could probably go over that a little bit more about, you know, the ninth seed. Because now if you're saying that if the eighth and ninth seed are going to play, if the eighth seed beat the ninth, then it's over. But if the ninth beat the eighth, they'll play again, right? If that happens. Now, that's nothing wrong with that, because the eighth was ranked a little higher. Gives them, it's kind of a three game. It's a two team elimination. It's a double elimination in that. So I can understand that. I like it. If the 18 beat the ninth right the first in that series, then the series is over. So I don't think it'd be, you know, that. So you'll see that happen on some of these, and some it may not. The 19th may beat them two out of three and end up, you know, getting in the playoffs and starting the playoffs. So I'm not opposed to it. I know it's a lot of moving parts, but the biggest thing out of all this, if 16 teams go or if it's 22 teams, just they got to seed it. I don't want to see East and West. I want to see it just seeded by record. I want to see that there could possibly be a Lakers and Clippers championship. I want to see it where it could be Milwaukee and, you know, whoever it may be from the West. But I think that would be very, very fascinating. I think that it'd be great. That's the biggest thing that I want to see that the NBA pulls off.
You know what, Dan? The more I listen and the more I try to read and decipher this, I think I would have to parrot your thoughts. I think I'm baffled because I'm trying to go through the way Shams Charania at The Athletic laid it out.
Right.
22-team format, 16 current playoff teams, 6 additional teams. That gets
and
me to 22.
And Woj now has some additional details, if I can just sprinkle these in as we go. And this from Adrian Wojnarowski at Woj ESPN on Twitter. He says, so the NBA is inviting 22 teams to Orlando, 13 Western Conference, 9 Eastern Conference, 8 regular season games per team, as you mentioned, and the play-in for the 8th seeds, July 31st to October 12th. They're going to vote to ratify it tomorrow. And these are the teams that would be added. It would be New Orleans, Portland, Phoenix, Sacramento, and San Antonio, in addition to the 8 playoff teams. And then Washington would be the Eastern team. What do you think about that, Jim? 13 Western Conference, 9 Eastern Conference teams will be in Orlando.
Well, it's an interesting way to look at it because when you take a look at the Western Conference playoff picture, it is pretty clear to see, there's a line of the top 8. I really believe that there's a line of the top 8, and it ends with Memphis. And then you have to go 3.5 games back to get to a pack of teams that's trying to chase the Memphis Grizzlies. And Memphis at 32-33, so right around the 500 mark, and they're 3.5 up on Portland. And Damian Lillard's argument is, we're getting our center back, we're getting our power forward back. We feel we are playing better basketball with more of our roster, and we've put ourselves into the position of being in a race for something. So Portland is there. New Orleans, who's been coming on like a house of fire since Zion Williamson came back. The Kings, who finished their last 20 games 13-7, so they're making an argument that we could, in 18 remaining NBA games, finally make it to a playoff seed. And then San Antonio hovering at 4 games back. They add Phoenix to this, and I got to say, Phoenix at 26-39, it seems like a long stretch, Dan, for the Phoenix Suns to get hot and make their way into the playoffs. I don't know how you see it, but I see that as a pretty tough one.
It's a joke is what it is. I'm going to use stronger language than just saying it's a pretty tough one because you've got Phoenix with a winning percentage of 400, Washington with a winning percentage of 375. These are not teams that should be rewarded with playoff berths. Washington is 24-40. They're 5.5 games behind Orlando. So in this scenario, they're going to play 8 games. And let's just say that Washington closes within 4. So they pick up a game and a half or 2 games on Orlando. Then they go into a play-in tournament where Washington, the 9 seed, has to beat Orlando twice. Orlando only has to beat Washington once. So we have this 8-game scenario where maybe Washington picks up a couple of games and now they get an opportunity where they're still a terrible basketball team, yet they get an opportunity to be a playoff team and possibly advance. And for it not to be equitable, Jim, I think speaks to the gross competitive imbalance in the NBA anyway. So you're going to have Phoenix is going to be considered a playoff team at 26-39. They're 24 games behind the Lakers, yet got to have Phoenix in Orlando. It's a joke.
I think going as far back as Phoenix is a little deep. Maybe even San Antonio is a little deep. But the 3 teams piled up behind Memphis, you can make, a fair argument that with 17 or 18 games to play, they were within breathing distance of what Memphis was doing. The Washington pick, maybe just to make it interesting in the Eastern Conference, but that seems pretty clearly separated from the top 8 and the ne'er-do-wells of the Eastern Conference. But low, professional athletes want to play for something. And we saw Tennessee go into Baltimore and win. We saw Tennessee go into New England and win. You don't know what's going to happen when there's a playoff spot on the line. And doesn't that alone make it a little bit more exciting for the teams that are on the outside looking in?
Without a doubt, it makes it exciting for the teams, not just the teams. I think it's going to make it exciting for the players and the fans. So you look at the fans that are in these particular areas in Phoenix and Sacramento, and these guys are going to be excited because they have the opportunity to play into a playoff type of atmosphere. So yes, I get it. It's a long shot, and it's a long. But hey, that's what you play. That's why you play the game. And some of these teams, they believe in themselves. And even though to us you look at, oh, they're a long shot, they are, but something about being a professional athlete, something about being able to get on the stage and you believe that you can will it to happen, you believe that you can catch a team, and coaches start talking and people start speaking life, and believe it or not, you feel like you're David and you're getting ready to slay Goliath. So those are the things that goes through the athletes, the bodies and the energy and the mindset just by speaking positivity. So I think it's great for basketball. Hell, Dibs, this year you already talked about it's going to be different. Everyone already understands. So why not add four other teams, Dibs? Why not?
And I'll tell you why
eight?
Not. What, because Dibs? The Philistine famously threw that one stone and the giant was felled. Phoenix would have to run the table. They'd have to hurl eight stones. And even if they win all eight of their games, they're still not very likely to climb over San Antonio, Sacramento, New Orleans, and Portland just to get to that ninth spot, just to get the opportunity to have to beat the eight-seeded Memphis twice in order to make it to the playoffs. Phoenix this year against the Western Conference, 15-27. The Spurs, 15-21. Portland was 10 games below 500 against their own conference, yet we're going to go out of our way to jerry-rig, yes, two Jerry Riggs on the show.
Oh, Jerry.
The format. I apologize to one Gerald Rigg for debasing his good name here. But, Jim, we're going out of our way to let these teams that had losing records against the conference get into a, quote, playoff scenario no real reason.
But Dibs, yes, there is a real reason. You know, Dibs, and you know just as well as I know the real reason. It's also to make sure that the revenue splits. Also, you want the Warriors to make sure they have money for the cap and all those different things next year. So they're playing extra games. They're trying to say, how do we come up with a solution that's going to help, you know, the revenue for next year, that's going to give these players enough that they want money? And the NBA, at least they're figuring it out. Daniel, for you to just sit here and just like poo-poo all over it, man, enjoy it. I mean, think about when the Carolina Panthers went to the playoffs with the quarterback Stanton, whoever he was, didn't have a chance, but we still watched it. Think about when Carr went down and we knew we're getting ready to go bet and Danny's there and we're freaking playing the Texans and you knew what was going down, Diz, but you still went and watched it. You still put in time and you said, maybe, just maybe, can this guy take us, you know, you had hope and you had a pray. You picked up your stones and you thought that stone was going to work, even though it all odds showed that it wouldn't. You still bared it. You still went through it. Dibs, that's sports, and that's real. And that's
the difference,
why when you
though,
see,
Lo, is the Raiders went 12-4, and they earned a playoff spot.
I
you're not
know,
talking about
you're
a
still,
you're not talking about a 6-10 team. Oh, you know what? We're going to expand the playoffs because we want to make sure that everybody feels good and everyone has a fair crack at it. This dumbs
Dibs.
Down the entirety of what the regular season was, and they played a bunch of games, three quarters of a season, yet now we're going to bend over, we're going to stoop down and allow Washington, Dibs. With a winning percentage of 375. You know what, Washington? You're 5.5 behind Orlando. We're going to give you an 8-game chance to, I'll tell you what, Washington, if you go 7-1 and Orlando goes 4-4, then we'll give you two more chances to maybe make it in the playoffs and then get rolled by Milwaukee. It's pointless.
But it's a different
Dibs,
year. It's
Thanks,
a different
Dibs.
Year. We have to live with something different this time. It's
right.
not perfect.
Telling
we know
cozy.
That.
Right.
Yeah, but it gives them something to play for, and it keeps the carrot on the end of the stick, right?
Exactly.
You don't just
Dibs.
Say, oh, they've already won their eight spot. I don't have to watch these other games. I hope Washington gets hot. I hope they make it interesting. And then I hope they get two more chances to end up beating them, because those games are going to mean something.
Yeah, they probably will get hot too, Jim. They gave up 120 a night, and they finished the year having won four of their last 10. So you limp in. You absolutely limp in to the end of a season going 4-6. You show no life.
Dibs.
You've got a winning percentage of 375. And oh, by the way, on the
Dibs.
Road, Washington on the road, low, 8 and 24 on the season. But you know what, guys? Come on down to Orlando. You guys can go to Epcot Center.
I love Epcot. I got to be honest with you.
If you go 8-0, which, by the way, Washington's going to go down there. They're going to go 3-5. They'll make no headway. No one's going to give a crap about Washington or Phoenix or any of these other non-deserving bottom feeders.
Dibs, you know what's so interesting about this, Dibs? And this is really, and you know, Dibs, you're gonna have to explain
say
to me
because
you gotta talk Dims, you gotta talk about this ledge. Because the We Believe year, what were their record? What was their split? And all of a sudden you were shouting, you were crying, I can't believe this, that slam, all the stuff that was going on. And this is similar, but they got hot at the right time and had a chance. And now you're going to just poo-poo on all these other teams. You are one of the biggest cheerleaders with that We Believe team. Oh, man, I didn't think it was going to happen. And you were just so excited. You were down there crying because you were so excited that the team, they were doing stuff. They beat the number one team. Seed, it didn't even seem possible.
Yeah,
they
and
limped
that's,
in
that's
and they
the
got in the playoffs.
But they didn't limp in at 42-40. They had a winning record. If you want to look at 42-40 this year, that record, you'd be the 8th seed in the Western Conference. And by the way, in the Eastern Conference, you'd be the 7th seed. So that's a team that would be a playoff team, not some tired 24-40 team with Bradley Beal and no real interest otherwise.
They're just trying to make prolong it to give us a little basketball, let the other teams get in rhythm, and they start this thing, let these guys feel a certain way, let them feel apart. They're the appetizer. You go there, you want to have your kale salad, but before that you want to eat your crackers. I don't know what you, because you don't eat meat, but think about it. You get a salad before you get your main, your encore. It's like you could do without the salad, but no, that salad's pretty important before your main meal comes. You see what I'm
wilted
saying?
Wilted lettuce and soggy croutons.
I don't think it's wilted lettuce and soggy croutons.
I just said it's wilted lettuce and soggy croutons.
But we're not in a position where I can give you the Ruth's Chris filet mignon melted butter. It's just not one of the things on the menu. You take what the menu has and you find the best combination.
That's all we're saying, Dim.
My appetizer. All right? Yes. My starter. My main course and my dessert. And
you know what? When they bring you the appetizer and it's wilted lettuce and soggy croutons, you don't have to eat it. And you're going to find that people are clamoring for sports. We're all very hungry as we continue this ferocious analogy.
Very true.
One step further. We all are hungry. So we are going to eat. People are going to watch Washington and they are going to watch Phoenix. But it doesn't mean that it's right, because you could put whatever you want in there and people are going to watch it. So why not produce something of some actual quality and some actual intrigue, because people are going to watch. People are going to eat. Why are you going to give me wilted lettuce and soggy croutons? Give me something decent that we can all enjoy.
Here's the problem, though. If you just bring them back and go right into the playoffs with the final 16 teams, they haven't had a chance to get their bodies in game shape. They need some type of small regular season slash what would count as a preseason for most of these guys, just to get their bodies back in playing condition so they can have a more fair version of what we would call a playoff session. Am I right on this?
You're absolutely 1,000%.
You want steak all the time. You can't have steak every meal.
I don't disagree with what you're saying, Dibs. But you can have these games. You can have preseason games. Take the 16 playoff teams, throw them in Orlando, and say, we're starting in the end of July. We're going to give you 4 preseason games. Go out there and get your sea legs back. Run up and down. Have fun. But these games don't have meaning. Instead, it's
Washington. Put these teams against each other? They might play against each other. So that's why you're doing it the way that they're doing. The better teams, Dibs, is not in. You don't just go to a restaurant and say, I want my steak right now. You got to give them time to prepare to cook it. You don't just say, give me my salmon. Oh, I just want kale right now. What do you want to bring a bag of kale out? They got to cut the lettuce. They got to wash the lettuce. They got to do the things before they just add it in there, whether it's a green, whatever, romaine. Dibs, you just don't go to a restaurant. I want it right now. I want it right now. Calm down.
But when I go to order, and I look at the menu, you still get to look at the menu.
You get
to
look.
But what happens is you're gonna sit down at the table and you're gonna order up an NBA playoff game, and they're gonna go back in the kitchen, and then the waiter's gonna come back and say, I know you wanted to get Toronto and Boston, but what you got was Washington and Phoenix. Enjoy. Eat up.
You know what? That's
I'm
your
walking.
Salad. That's your salad course.
Thank
you have a nice
Coles.
Light salad
wilted
course.
Lettuce and
after
soggy.
The salad.
I'm doing radio with wilted lettuce and soggy croutons. Wilted and soggy in the morning.
Wow. After the salad,
and yes,
right, the little regular seasonish, then you get your appetizer, which is going
Kellen
to be
Coles.
the two-game elimination situation.
Yes.
We have an elimination situation. Okay, Tim Roy?
Do
and
we
from there?
Do we, Jim? Because if the team's not within four games, you're not going to have your appetizer. So you're going to order your little plate of escargot, and the waiter's going to go in the back and go, "Well, you know, they're more than four games out. So in fact, we don't have the appetizer anymore. But we're going to get you to the main course. I know you're all filled up on wilted lettuce and soggy croutons, but hope you saved room for the main course. Which, by the way, is not going to come for another month because first you got to have the top seeded Milwaukee Bucks going up against a pathetic Portland Trailblazer team or a sad sack Orlando Magic.
They're not sad sack. Orlando's a playoff team right now.
Right, and you're going to make me wait a month before we get to actual entree basketball.
Because
Wilton and Soggy,
to
I totally disagree
to
with you two.
You all right, Dibs?
It's spinach salad with the little cuties, the little craisins, and a little vinaigrette. The little raspberry vinaigrette is what that.
Help him out, Cole.
It's Giddy that's Coles. What your salad is. It's spinach leaves, it's cuties, it's craisins, it's shaved almonds.
Boo!
Raspberry vinaigrette,
and you're gonna fill up on that. And by the time the real meal comes, you're not gonna even care anymore about what's going on.
Then I'm gonna get potato skins for my appetizer, which is an old school appetizer that does not get enough credit. There was a time when that was one of the great appetizers of all time. Better than what was it? The cheese sticks? Better than cheese sticks.
Mozzarella sticks, yeah.
Yes. Then I get my filet in melted butter at Ruth's Chris as I'm trying to get Joe Lowe and Dibs Show a Ruth's Chris deal. And the dessert will be the playoffs. The dessert will be the play. We're going to talk about this with you. 888-957-9570. Do you like the idea?
I like it.
The key to the Woj plan is the NBA's back. That's the final line in his tweet. The NBA's back, and it is coming back. You can join us. 888-957-9570. Joe Lowe and Dibs on a Wednesday, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.